This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, the dome you can see behind me is the dome of our masjid. And Alhamdulillah, for those of my friends who know me, my house is right behind the masjid. And Alhamdulillah, this is one of the many blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with, that He gave me a house which is right next door to the masjid. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep me and to keep all of you under the cover of His sattari, under the cover of His hiding of faults, and in His protection always until we meet Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that meeting the best day of our lives, insha'Allah. Now we are on the story of Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun. And last week we talked about how Fir'aun challenged Musa alayhi salam. And the challenge that they set was, the Fir'aun's advisors, they told him to invite the best magicians from the country to come and collectively to challenge Musa alayhi salam and defeat him. Now, of course, they were doing that because they thought that Musa alayhi salam had become a magician and he had brought some magic trick in order to convince them. Their understanding of that was, mistaken idea was understandable, because the Egyptians, they were actually four major polytheistic people that existed in history, out of which three are no longer there, one is still there. The three which are no longer there, of course there are many more, but I mean the three of the major ones known were the Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians, and the Indians, the Hindus. Of this, the Greek and Roman and Egyptian polytheistic religions have come to an end. There's nobody who follows them anymore. Then their temples and so on are now objects of tourism and curiosity. The Hindu religion, of course, is alive and well in India, and it has almost 80% of the Indian population which follows that religion. Now, the polytheism, worshipping creatures, worshipping idols, worshipping celestial bodies, worshipping mountains and rivers, and worshipping animals, usually either animals which are beneficial or animals which are potentially harmful. So people, for example, the Hindus worship cows and they worship snakes. Two ends of the spectrum, the cow is a very beneficial animal and the snake is potentially harmful. So these are the kinds of things that people have done throughout the ages. And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophet after prophet after prophet to bring people back on to the truth, which is that we should worship only our Creator. We should not worship that which we create. And all gods and goddesses and objects of worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are man-made. They are all created by human beings, by the human imagination. Whatever be the logic behind it, whatever be the intention behind it, it is wrong. It is the worst of the wrong, because it is something which impacts on and something which attempts to take away the glory and majesty which belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, which belongs only and only to our Creator, Sustainer, Protector, which is and who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi after Nabi, messenger after messenger, prophet after prophet, to bring people back onto the straight path, which is the path of Tawheed, the path of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then people keep on going astray. They're straying from the true path, and they worship all kinds of objects, including worshipping other human beings, alive or dead. Many idols actually are the symbols of individuals, good individuals in some cases. Maybe they were prophets, Allah knows best. In some cases, we know they are prophets. For example, Isa alayhi salam, in the Catholic religion, they worship statues. They worship actually what they call icons of what they claim to be Jesus and Mary, Isa alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam. Of course, we know they are not that, but this is what they claim. So there is idol worship in Christianity, and those idols are Isa alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam, or purporting to be that. So people worship Muslims, they worship graves, they worship the, they don't worship the idol, but they worship the place where a person, a saintly person, we don't have any saints in Islam, but saintly as in a good person, who passed away and he's buried in a place. So people then they decorate the grave, and they make it, you know, maybe depending on how much money there is, they build domes on them, they build mausoleums, and then they worship there, they make sujood, they bow and they prostrate to the grave, and they ask help from the person who is supposed to be in that grave. That is idol worship, believe me. Make no mistake about that. That is just like worshipping an idol. There is no difference whatsoever. Anyone who is worshipping anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is engaging in idol worship. If somebody is not worshipping anything at all, that's a different issue. A person may be an atheist, worships nothing. He doesn't worship Allah, he doesn't worship anything else either. That's a different issue, right? That is the issue of atheism and so on. A person may not worship at all, nobody. On the other hand, if a person is worshipping, but they're worshipping anyone or anything other than Allah, whether the one they are worshipping is Muslim or not Muslim, human or not human, this worldly or otherworldly, whether they worship an idea or an object, all of this is idol worship. All of this is the biggest of sins. And if somebody dies with that belief, right, in this life, the door of tawbah, the door of istighfar, the door of repentance, the door of returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always open for everybody until the minute you see Malakul Maut, until the minute the angel of death comes for you. Until that moment, the door is open for everyone. So no matter what you have been doing throughout your life, it is never too late to recognize the truth, to accept the truth, and to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not about me or anybody else. You're not turning to me, you're not turning to anybody else. You're not turning to anyone. You're turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. You recognize your creator, and you turn to the creator and you say, I apologize, I am sorry, I was worshipping creatures. I recognize you and I worship only you, and from now onwards I will not worship anyone other than you. That is Tawheed. That is Islam. And this is the religion that came from day one. Whoever it was, whether it was Adam alayhi salam or Nuh alayhi salam or Musa alayhi salam or Ibrahim alayhi salam or Isa alayhi salam or anybody and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it ends with there, starts with Adam alayhi salam, ends with Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This entire chain of prophets and messengers, the Anbiya and Rusul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them preached only one doctrine, and that doctrine was La ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. He is our Ma'bud, He is the ilah, He is the object of worship, He is the one who we seek help from, He is the one who can, He is the only one. And when we say one, only Ma'bud, only ilah, only worthy of worship, only one worthy of worship, only one from whom we can seek help, because He is the only one who can do anything. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is The religion of Islam, which came from Adam alayhi salam all the way to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, anything other than that is not Islam. Right? So let us understand that first. Now, having said that, so as I said, polytheism has been around forever. But certain cultures and certain civilizations, they developed the polytheistic religions to a great extent. And they created entire mythologies, and they created all kinds of scenarios, what happens in life, what happens after life, and the underworld, and the river which has to be crossed between this world and the next world, and the boatman who is the... So you have to give some money to the boatman. And the Romans used to put a gold coin in the mouth of the dead body, right? And different people did different things. And you go from one world to another world, all of this. So they created this whole mythology. Now, the Egyptians did, they went a step ahead, and to support this whole mythology, they developed magic. Basically, they were illusionists. They would do magic which made things look different from what they are. And some of these illusionists, people who create illusions, they are very, very impressive. I mean, there are a couple of them around. They are not religious based. They are more entertainment and Hollywood based. But if you watch their tricks, and YouTube is full of them. I'm deliberately not naming them. I don't want to send you off watching stuff. If you do it on your own. But it really boggles your mind. I mean, there is no way that, at least I can't figure out how the person does that illusion. And he's doing it completely without any props. I mean, he's doing it on the street, right? Street magic. He's doing it in somebody's house where he's gone for the first time. It's not as if somebody was there and they set up the whole thing for him. No, nothing. But they do it. So, I mean, all artists and all experts have their expertise, and they know how it works, and to others it looks like magic. Magic is basically something you don't really understand. For example, if somebody sees this video and they say, well, you know, this video is made in America and I'm watching it here in India or in Sudan or something, and I mean, how did it get here? Imagine, how did it get here? I mean, it didn't come in the mail or anything like this, and it's uploaded on something called the cloud. I mean, I look up there, I can see the clouds here. I mean, which cloud? Which one? Is it this one here or is that one there? Which cloud? So it looks like magic. Here is this man who's talking to me like as if I'm face to face. I can see the color of his cap, the color of his topi, I can see the color of his beard, and so forth. I mean, how is he talking to me? So if you don't understand the technology, now, for example, having said that, even if you don't understand technology, you believe in the technology, it's not magic anymore. Because frankly, I mean, if you ask me, forget about everybody else. If you ask me also, say, explain to me in technical terms, how does a video which is uploaded onto YouTube, how does it come into your phone, or how does it come onto your television? Technical definition, I can't give it. I don't know how it does, how it happens in technological terms. I can just say it's downloaded. What is the meaning of that? Right. So if you really look at it, the very few people who actually understand even technology. So for them also it is, you know, some level of magic. But people who understand the technology, it's not magic anymore, because I mean, they know how it works, and they are the people who can then manipulate that technology and make it do many things. And that's how technology develops, and that's how new things come about, and so on and so forth. So there is a positive aspect to it. Now, same thing with magic. Obviously, the magicians knew what they were doing, so for them it was no mystery. They knew how illusions work. They were the experts in it. There was no one in the world, and probably till today, there's probably no one who had developed magic to the extent that the Egyptians had done. The Egyptians were absolutely the world's masters in magic. And for them it was something which the Pharaoh used them. because they supported the ideology of the divinity of the Pharaoh. So Pharaoh convinced his people by getting his magicians to create illusions which made him look more and more godlike and so on and so forth. Now here was a situation where these magicians now were literally engaged in a life and death struggle, because if Musa alayhi salam could beat them, if their magic could be made null and void by Musa alayhi salam, then quite literally it was their neck on the block as far as Pharaoh is concerned. And they knew he was a ruthless, completely ruthless man. There was nothing that he wouldn't stop at. If they won, then the sky was the limit. I mean, the Pharaoh said, I will do anything for you. So it was an extremely high stakes game that these people were engaged in. So for them it was an extremely important thing. So was it for Musa alayhi salam, because this was his final test. Now so they engaged in that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of course revealed Quran about what happened. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قالوا يا موسى إما أن تلقي وإما أن تكون أول من ألقى قال بل ألقوا فإذا حبالهم وعصيهم يخيل إليه من سحرهم أنها تسعى. And then from there all the way down to ومن يأتيه مؤمنا قد عمل الصالحات فأولئك لهم الدرجات العلى جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها وذلك جزاء من تزكى. So from ayah number 65 to 76. Now so Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that's in Surah Taha, incidentally. So they said, Allah said, so they said, O Musa, who should throw first? You throw first or we? We should throw first. So Musa alayhi salam said, no, you throw first. And then they threw, and their sticks, and with their magic, they appeared to become snakes, and they moved fast. And so Musa alayhi salam felt some fear in himself. Now think about this. Here is Musa alayhi salam, he's the Nabi, he's the Rasul, but he's also human. So he's feeling this thing. He says, oh my God, now what happened? Will my thing work? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, don't fear. Surely you will have the upper hand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reassuring him. And Allah said, and throw that which is in your right hand, it will swallow up that which they have made. And that which they have made is only a magician's trick. And the magician will not be successful, no matter whatever amount of skill they may attain. And that's the reason why magic is haram in Islam. Fortune telling is haram in Islam. So all of this, you know, we have Jyotishis, and you have astrologers, and palmists, and you know, all kind of stuff. But this is all prohibited in Islam. So they did that. Musa alayhi salam threw his stick, and this became a snake, and the magicians fell down prostrate, and they said, we believe in the Rabb of Harun and Musa. Now think about this. Here is a situation where these people, instantly they have faith, instantly they believe, and that's because of the expertise they have, right? The two things: first of all, the expertise, so they are able to recognize magic from non-magic, magic from the reality, from magic. So when it happened, they said, no, this is not magic, because we are the experts in magic. We know exactly how magic is done, and what is happening here is not magic, this is something else. We see the same thing which happened with the Sahaba of Rasulullah. The Arabs were very arrogant about their language. They were the experts, especially the poets. The poets are the acme of linguists, because in poetry you actually have to collect the mafhum, the meaning of great meaning, of great depth, into a few words, just a couple of words. And the one who can do that has to be a linguist of a very high caliber. This is what poets are. So when the Quran was revealed, the first people who accepted the Quran were people who were experts in the language. Because they said this is not from, this is not the word of any human being. And why do they say? Because we are the experts. If somebody could have written this, I would have written it. But I know I cannot write this. So this is something which is completely out of this world. Literally, this is not the word of human being. It has to be the word of God. And so also in this case, the magician, they said, no. If this was magic, we would know what it is. Because there's no way that he's doing something which fools us. It cannot fool us. It can fool ordinary people, but we are not ordinary people. We are people who are experts in this, and we know what's going on. And this is real. So they fell in sujood. And the amazing thing is that these are the two groups of people, as far as I know, the magicians of Firaun and the Sahaba of Rasulullah, who came from being completely and totally, in some cases, anti-Islam, to the extent where Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu went to kill Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with a naked sword in his hand. And then when they accepted Islam, they came to Islam with such a level of strength and certainty that nothing could shake them. They were like completely like mountains, like pillars of strength. So in this case also, immediately the magicians and all of them, like the Firaun now, at one stroke, he's lost his major support. So obviously he was furious. He got insane with rage. And he said, you believe in him before I give you permission. I mean, how can you believe in Musa when I have not permitted you? Imagine the kind of arrogance of the man. I mean, to believe in somebody, his people need his permission. That's the arrogance. This is what does, kingship and power does to you. He says, verily, he is your chief, so maybe you guys are actually, are in cahoots with him. You are colluding with him. He is your chief who taught you the magic. So I will surely cut off your hands and feet on opposite sides, and I will surely crucify you on the trunks of date palms, and you will surely know which of us, which is Firaun or the Rabb of Musa alayhi salam. Imagine, he is not even comparing himself with Musa, he is comparing himself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, you will know which one can give more severe and more lasting torment. This is all the language of arrogance. So they said, the magicians who became Muslim, they said, we prefer you not over the clear signs that have come to us. They said, look, now we know the truth. The clear sign is in front of us. We recognize the sign because we know how to recognize signs. We recognize the sign because we are the experts. And we cannot believe you when we have this clear sign before us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better. He's stronger, he's more powerful as regards reward in comparison to your reward. And more lasting as regards punishment in comparison to your punishment. Your punishment, whatever you do, will end with our death. Maybe earlier, but his punishment begins with your death and never ends. Now verily, whoever comes to his Rabb as a mujrim, as a criminal, then surely for him is Jahannam, wherein he will neither die nor live. Because death is cessation, death is ending. So if you are happy, death ends your happiness. If you are sad, if you are in pain, death ends that pain. But when there is no death, when you are in that state, and the state never ends, and this is true suffering. And they are saying, this is what Allah will give you. So watch out. And Adan, which is Jannah, under which rivers flow, wherein they will abide. And no, then he said, whosoever comes to him as a believer, as a Muslim, as a person of Tawheed, as somebody who believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, does not associate partners with Allah, does not worship anything other than Allah, and has done good deeds, for such are the high ranks in the hereafter, which is Adan, which is Jannah, everlasting gardens under which rivers flow, wherein they will abide forever, and such is the reward of those who purify themselves by Tawheed. Now, the lesson here for us is that tests come when you accept Islam, when you accept Iman, but for those who are truthful, there is the promise of Jannah. Magicians came for worldly reward. They came there. They didn't come there to believe in Musa alayhi salam. They came there for Firaun's money, for the reward of Firaun. They came there as enemies of Musa alayhi salam. They came there, their intention when they came there was to make Musa alayhi salam look bad. But they accepted Iman, and then they were willing to give their lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is how Iman transforms the individual. So we need to ask what our Iman is doing for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned further in Surah Al-Araf, and so the sorcerers, the magicians came to Fir'aun and they said, indeed there will be a good reward for us if we are the victors. He said, yes, and moreover you will be in that case the nearest to me. Now imagine, reward is fixed, no matter how much it is a certain amount. But if the king is promising you that you will be among the closest people to him, then that is boundless reward. What is your access? Your access is to the king. And therefore, technically, whatever the king can do or can give is yours. Now that is how powerful this thing is. So he says, you will not only get a reward, but I will make you among my closest confidants. And they said now, so they said to Musa alayhi salam now in this case, O Musa, either you throw first or we will be the first to throw. And he, Musa alayhi salam, he said to them, you throw. And when they threw, they bewitched the eyes of people and they struck terror into them and they displayed a great magic. And Allah said, and we inspired Musa alayhi salam, we sent wahi to him, throw your stick. And behold, it swallowed up straight away all the falsehood that they showed. Thus truth was confirmed, and all that they did was to no effect. So they were defeated there and then, and were in return, and they were returned disgraced. And then the sorcerers, they fell down prostrate, they fell in sujood, and they said, we believe in the Rabb of Alameen, we believe in Rabbul Alameen, the Rabb of the Alameen, the creator, sustainer, maintainer, protector of all that exists, the Rabb of Musa and Harun. And then Fir'aun said, you believed in him before I gave you permission. Surely this is a plot, and you people have plotted in the city to drive out with people, but you will come to know. And of course, the Fir'aun went on all of these ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the whole story of Fir'aun. Now, the chiefs of Fir'aun's people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah number 127 of Surah Al-Araf, the chiefs of Fir'aun's people, they said, will you leave Musa and his people to spread mischief in the land and to abandon you and your gods? So Fir'aun said, we will kill their sons and let their women live, and we have indeed irresistible power over them. They cannot do anything. So I will do that. We'll kill their sons and we'll leave the girls. Musa alayhi salam said to his people, seek help in Allah and be patient. Verily, the earth belongs to Allah, and he gives it as a heritage to whom he wills of his slaves, and the blessed end is for the muttaqun. Now this is a very important point to understand here, because many times in our lives, of course, alhamdulillah, Allah has protected us, we do not face, at least most of us, vast majority of us, we do not face the kind of raw power that the people of the Bani Israel faced with regard to Fir'aun. Right? But we do face people who have power, we do face people who have the power to inflict pain, to inflict suffering, to imprison, to kill, to do, you know, different kinds of things. And then, so, you know, people will sometimes, you feel discouraged. We don't lose hope, because we should never lose hope. We hope and believe only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a Muslim never despairs. But yes, definitely you can get discouraged and so on. So this can happen, and it does happen. Now, therefore, it is very important to remember that no matter what it looks like, the fact is that this whole earth, this entire universe, everyone who lives on this earth, no matter how powerful or powerless that person or that object or that thing or that whatever concept may consider themselves to be, the reality is that they are nothing except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to be. Right? They have no power, they have no ability, they don't own anything, they can't do anything. All that they can do, all the power they can show, all the ability they can show, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits them to do. What Allah has not permitted them, they cannot do anything about it. And therefore, it's very important not to get intimidated and not to get frightened of opposition. What must you do when you face opposition? Connect, check your own connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Check and see whether you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. Remember, Allah will not simply support you because you are a Muslim. Allah will support you if you are a Muslim and you are doing righteous deeds. Because here Allah is saying that seek Allah, seek help in Allah and be patient, have sabr, and verily the earth is Allah's and He gives it as heritage to whom He wills of His slaves. So therefore, help comes to those who are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are on Tawheed and who make an effort to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even though you and I may be Muslims, if we are, for example, not praying, if we are not giving zakat, if we are not fasting in Ramadan, if we are not doing hajj, if we are not helping people, if we are not being charitable, if we are eating haram, if we are drinking haram, all of this stuff, if we are doing, then believe me, the help of Allah will not come to us. The help of Allah will not come to us, even though we are people of Tawheed, even though we do not worship idols, even though we worship only Allah. But Allah will not help us unless we also show our ubudiyat through our actions. So therefore, we need to look at ourselves and say, if there is a difficulty that's happening, why is that happening? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He sends us difficulty so that we may turn towards Him. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that people will turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to first turn towards Allah and then seek His help. Turning towards Allah means what? Means leaving every prohibited thing that we were doing in our lives. Letting go of it, leaving it, rejecting it, and then doing what Allah told us to do. The power of Iman to focus the attention on the Akhirah, thereby all difficulties of life become insignificant. That's the second thing, which is, think of the Akhirah. Whatever is happening to me, this dunya will end. وَمَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَضُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. Allah said, whatever is with you will end. Your health will end, your wealth will end, your beauty will end, your ugliness will end, your poverty will end, your sickness will end. Everything will end, both the good and the bad. And what is with Allah remains. And what is with Allah? Whatever you send ahead of you. So all your charity, all your good deeds, all your salah, all your sujood, all your fasting, all your hajj, all the qurbanis you did in Eid al-Adha, whatever you did, this will remain. This will not perish. What is with you will perish. What is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. So therefore, we need to focus and say, what have I prepared for my akhirah? Because this dunya is going to end. No matter how beautiful it looks, it will end. No matter how ugly it looks, it will end. But what will remain is what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, if I want the beauty and the goodness of my life to continue, then I must live my life the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered me to live it. The Bani Israel, unfortunately, were very difficult people. So they said, Qalu, where is the ayat gone now? The Bani Israel blamed Musa alayhi salam, and they said, all of this is happening to us. قالوا أوذينا من قبل أن تأتينا ومن بعد ما جئتنا قال عسى ربكم أن يهلك عدوكم ويستخلفكم في الأرض فينظر كيف تعملون. They said, we, the children of Israel, had suffered troubles before you came to us and since you have come to us. And he said, it may be that your Rabb will destroy your enemy and make you successors on the earth, so that he may see how you act. Now, the So they blamed him. I mean, because difficulties come on them, they blame him. He is there to help them. He is there. They have been enslaved, and they have been enslaved for generations. But they got used to that. Now, this is a lesson here. The victim stance. The victim stance is always to blame somebody else for what happens to you. Never to look at yourself and say, there is a reason why this is happening to me. Number one. Number two, what can I do about this? How can I change my own destiny? Victims don't do that. Victims blame others. And then, so what should you do? What can I do? Feel, sit and feel helpless. Learned helplessness. Sit and feel helpless. Groan and moan and cry. But don't take action to change. Nothing changes without action. So the victim stance is typical of a defeated and enslaved nation, because the enslavement is in the mind. They look for scapegoats. They look for always someone to blame for their situations. They don't have the courage to look at themselves and take action to change the situation. They look for outsiders to come and save them. They look for avatars. They look for somebody to come from heaven. Right? All these concepts of God came down onto the earth to do this and that. God does not do all that. The earth is less than a grain of sand on a beach. You think Allah has nothing else to do than to come here and do stuff for you? Right? All of these theories of God coming and avatars and in this shape and that form, and God came as this one and that one, all false. They're all kufr. They're all shirk. So people they look for others to come. And then they blame everybody else. Usually the one who is blamed the most is the one who wakes them up. There is this joke. Somebody asks the rooster. Every morning he crows. Cook. So they ask the rooster, they said, how come people kill and eat you? Right? How come you are constantly in danger? People kill you and they eat you. They make tandoori chicken. So the rooster said, people do not like those who wake them up. That's the reality. So we need to ask ourselves this question and say, what is it that we are doing with the problems that beset us? The problem of the Zumma. Who do we hold responsible? Do we say this is our doing? Let us see how can we change ourselves. Let us see what we can do. Or do we blame this on somebody else? Right? This is happening to us because of the Jews. This is happening to us because of Israel. This is happening to us because of CIA. Or this is happening to us because of RSS or whoever. Always somebody else to blame for our problems. Or are we going to say, look, nobody can do anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if somebody is doing something, it means that Allah is allowing them to do that. So let us look at ourselves and say, why is Allah allowing somebody else to trouble us when we are the ones worshipping Allah and not that other person? That other person does not even worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet Allah has given them power over us. Why? We have to ask this question. No matter how painful it looks, no matter how difficult it looks, that is the actual reality. Because if it is la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, if this is true and we know it is true, then how can anyone do anything without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our own positions seem to be the same. We blame everyone other than ourselves for what is happening to us, to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we talk about all kinds of things that we want to do, but we do nothing to make them happen. So Musa alayhi salam told his people to have sabr, and he reminded them that the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He gives to whom He pleases. Allah gives the earth to whoever He pleases. Our brothers and sisters, inshallah, we do more in our next class. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us and to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him, and to save us from that which does not please Him. I remind myself and you that it is important for us to take these classes not simply as classes for us to attend and go home and feel happy. The idea of these classes is for us to try to change our lives, for us to start doing things which will enable us to become successful people in this dunya wal akhirah. That is my whole purpose of these classes. It's to try to bring about a change in life for myself and help you do that as well, if you like. So please do think about that and say, how is it that we can do this in a way which is beneficial for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.